This is Matt. I'm the lead pastor at Westminster Baptist Church. Thanks for engaging God's word with us. My prayer for you is that this would be supplemental to your discipleship journey. If we can connect you with a local church or discipleship group, please contact us at info@discoverwbc.com.
Throughout your day, the devil is scheming to destroy you. We have been at war with God and at peace with Satan, but we are now at peace with God and at war with Satan. If we are at war with Satan, should we not train? Today, I want to train from Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and many other passages to train in what Hebrews really calls us to. Three things, but next week we're going to address one. Today we're going to look at holiness and rest. Hebrews calls us to be holy as Christ is holy. Hebrews calls us to enter into that rest. And to do that, we must endure. So today we're going to look at holiness and rest as an affront, as an attack against Satan. Satan wants you not to rest. Satan wants you not to be holy. And he's going to scheme, he's going to plan so that you won't be. So that you won't be holy and so that you won't rest. In fact, he's already used many things in your life to pull you away from rest and to pull you away from holiness. Like, America sleeps less than any other developed nation in the world. Did you know that right now, today, around 50-ish percent of people in America sleep the recommended amount of time? In 1942, they did a similar study where they found that somewhere around 80% of adults slept the recommended amount of time. Now, would you go to anybody who was an adult in the 1940s, we're talking World War II generation, would you go to any of them and say, well, you didn't work hard so that you got to sleep longer? You'd be crazy. That generation worked hard, am I right? Okay, so what is it about today that they slept more than us and now we don't sleep as much as them? We as a developed nation, America, have less sleep. We statistically take less days off of work, and we statistically work more hours than any other developed nation in the world. I want you to think about that for a sec. Is it because we don't have enough and we need more? No, it's because we want more. And we're always wanting more and more and more. Satan is going to attack you to make you think that you can't have rest because you need to work more. Satan is going to attack you and make you, try to make you not holy like Christ. We are at war with Satan. Let's train. We're going to train for holiness and we're going to train for rest. Now, I want to start here, though, because we need to see the relationship between how God works in us and how we work because of God's work in us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Let's read it together. It's going to be on the screen. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. Here's what we see, two things here, divine power and divine nature. God's power and presence is with you. His divine power and his divine presence is with you. His work in you is what enables us to look at verse 5 and go, okay, I can do that. Look at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. It is because of God's divine power and divine presence in you that you can make every effort. It's us making every effort with God's divine power that comes together to build brothers and sisters who are at war with Satan. But let's not think that it's because of our work only, but rather what we're going to see is it's God's work in us, God's work through us. We're not working for salvation, we're working from salvation. So our relationship is this: God's divine power and presence is in us, therefore we work and make every single effort. We have to remember in our lives that God did not save us from discipline. God did not save us from training. God did not save us from work. God saved us from death. God didn't save you from good things. That's foolish. God saved you for good things. His great things for you. Discipline, training, life. Those are all good things that Jesus died so you could have. Work is part of the garden. But you know what's not part of the garden? Overwork. You know what's also not part of the garden? Is laziness. Here's what's interesting about that is, with overwork and laziness, it's actually the same result. Overwork and laziness are the same result. They both end up in you not getting to enjoy God's blessings. With overwork, you want to work more, so you end up not getting to enjoy the blessings that God has already given you. You've worked hard, so God has blessed you, provided for you, and then you want to work more, which ends up making it where you don't get to enjoy the blessings that you received because of how hard you already worked. But doesn't laziness do the same thing? Laziness is giving up what God has blessed you with and taking up something else and not doing anything with your life. Get that? Doing anything with your life. God gave you life. God gave you blessings. God gave you work. God gave you relationships. God's given you good things for you to enjoy, to be blessed by. Laziness is saying, I don't want that. And overwork is saying, I don't want that. I don't want what you've given me. I want more or I want less. It's lack of contentment. Now, am I right? Work is hard enough. Now, some of you may enjoy what you do. I enjoy what I do. Some of you may struggle with what you do. But didn't the garden tell us that once we sinned and were kicked out of the garden, that work was going to be hard? All right, so what does overwork do? It says, work's hard. I'm going to work more. I'm going to make it harder. Y'all, Satan wants you to think that you need to work more or work less to be happy. What God is going to teach us is that when we work, we can rest. And in that rest, we will find contentment, joy, peace. That's where I want you to be. So let's train. This morning we're going to train because Jesus told us to in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, where it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Many people want to say, well, I'm righteous because Jesus made me righteous. But what else did Jesus say? He was going to train you. So yes, we're righteous because Jesus saved us. By his blood, he's forgiven us. You're free. Amen. These are good things. The gospel has covered you. You are forgiven. But he didn't leave you there. He's also training you. He's training you because he didn't leave you in the midst of the devil's schemes to say, well, you're forgiven, but good luck with Satan. And that wouldn't be much of a saving at all for this world. When Jesus prayed in John 17 to the Father and he says, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to leave them in the world. He wasn't saying, leave them in the world and hope they do well. John 16:33, right? It says, peace for you. And in Matthew, in the Great Commission, it tells us that the Spirit's going to be with us. That God's leaving you here with a plan. And God's leaving you here in the midst of Satan's schemes to attack you, but he's not leaving you here without training. And so Jesus calls us to train. So the relationship between God working in us and us working is that God's given us the power and the presence. His Holy Spirit is with us, and he's training us so that we're not alone, but that we're going to have to make every single effort we can to do this. It's not going to be lazy. It's not going to be overworking. Instead, we're going to be content with what God has given us. But we are fighting Satan. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians 6:10-11, finally be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand up against the schemes of the devil. The devil's fighting against you. Are you fighting back? The devil's planning schemes against you. Are you planning against him? But in all this, we find rest in Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, the peaceful fruit of righteousness in your life. John 17, verse 15, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but you leave them there. My peace I give to you. That's all of that together. You have peace. You have joy. You have contentment because of Christ in the midst of this weary world. And so we train. Let's train in holiness. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. We're going to train to distinguish between good and evil. Now, some of you in here might have the spiritual gift of discernment. You say, I'm a person that the Spirit's given me the gift to discern what is right and what is wrong. It just comes natural to me. Some of you may be in here like, man, I don't have that. I need help. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give training for both. And if you're in here today like, man, I got it all together, I don't need help at all, take these notes down and train somebody else, or humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So regardless of where you are, I hope this will benefit you. It's benefited me in my life because of my journey in my life. And so I hope that it will bless you. All right, so we're going to look at our training regimen. Here's what we're going to do. Now, I am not, hopefully, like the Pharisees and Sadducees trying to throw something around your neck so that you sink in the water and drown in this work. I am not trying to give you work to do. Here's what I'm trying to do. If you're saying, Matt, I'm fighting a battle every single day with Satan, I need some help, I'm trying to give you some training. If you want to make this fit your life and shift it around time-wise and with what you do, man, do it. I'm just trying to help you practically with how to train, okay? So here's what I would recommend to you. Here's a couple things. First, meditate on what is good morning, afternoon, and night. Meditate on what is good morning, afternoon, and night. Now, you may have heard me say this before, to meditate, but I want to give you the practicals of it. I want to tell you why you should do it, and I want to give you some examples. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 and 20 says, "For from the heart come evil thoughts." In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, which is a very similar passage, it says, "A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." Now, we know what transforms our heart often is a renewing of mind. So scripture says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You're going to transform your heart by the renewing of your mind. So daily, we're going to think on good things. What do you wake up in the morning and think on? What do you wake up in the morning and think on? When you wake up in the morning, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and I want you to write down these things and think on them. It says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things." Dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. What are you dwelling on when you wake up in the morning? There are so many things we can think about. There's plenty of frustrations. There's plenty of struggles. There's plenty of pains. You can list all the struggles you want. And you know what the devil wants you to do? Think about those. This is the pain I have today. It's tearing me up. This is the messed up things that are happening in the world today. I'm afraid of it. The devil wants you to just list those things out and be thinking about those all the time. I don't know if you know, but I've told, maybe you do know, I don't have internet on my phone. I don't have social media on my phone. I don't have access to news. Somebody told me today something happening in the world that I had no clue was happening. It's a significant event. Significant event. I found out from a person. A human being told me. It was wild. It was cool, though. I heard it from a human. You know, some of my staff members, and they were like, "What? You don't know that?" And I was like, "I'm sorry, man. I'm out in the dark, man. I live in New Windsor. Do you know where I..." You know. But I say that because of this, man. I don't have to wake up afraid of the world. I don't have to wake up afraid of the devil's schemes. I know I need to know. I know I need to be aware of what's happening in my city, especially my town, in my neighborhood. But like, I don't want the world's pains and problems to infiltrate my mind to where they saturate my heart. And then all of a sudden I'm afraid of everything. I'm anxious for everything. I care about things God never intended for me to care or be anxious about. Like, I got enough in my neighborhood to deal with. There's enough pain and problems and things to pray about and people to help in my neighborhood to deal with my whole life. I don't need the rest of the world infiltrating my mind and saturating my things. There's people that have to deal with that. There's people that pay to deal with that, but I'm not. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to release those things out of my mind and to fill my mind with what is good. Fill my mind with whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just. So practically, here's what you do. If you don't journal, journal. Man, it's hard to do any of this spiritual disciplines without doing this, all right? Write down just, the word just, and then list anything you know that is just in your life right now. Write down honorable and list anything honorable in your life. Beautiful, list anything beautiful in your life. True, list anything true. Don't just dwell on the word true. Make it specific. We aren't just hearers of the word. We're what? Doers of the word. Okay, we're not... Your goal, Bill says this too, when we wake up in the morning, we don't just open up the Bible and read a verse. People, anybody can do that. We are not just hearers. We're not just readers. We are doers, right? We're going to take God's word and let it infiltrate our heart and then motivate our hands. Read it, believe it, do it. Not because we're doing it for salvation, but because it's transforming our lives. We're hearers and doers. So if we're going to hear it and do it, that means we're going to write down true, and I'm going to say, okay, these things are true about me. These things are true about my bride. These things are true about my kid and my kids, and I'm going to think on these things. This is what is beautiful, like my bride. This is what is honorable. This is what I'm going to think on constantly. This is what is pure. I mean, if your day is saturated with impure things, y'all work in secular workforces, you got enough coworkers that are pouring impure things into your minds, right? Okay, so in the morning, what you're going to do to fight Satan is you're going to think on pure things, and then throughout your day, you're going to be thinking on those pure things. You're going to bring it up at 11 a.m. You're going to bring it up at 1 p.m., and you're going to be thinking about those pure things in your mind, because we're taking hearing to doing, all right? So you're journaling. All right, so step one, meditate often throughout your day. Whatever that looks like for you, implement it into your life, specifically Philippians 4:8. I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to dwell on these things, because Jesus said that what is in my heart is going to come out of my mouth. Y'all ever talk to somebody and you're like, man, this person is not friendly. This person is not being kind. Y'all ever get an email or a text message and you're like, this person is really wicked? Anybody? All right, because I thought I was the only person in this room has been getting those. No, when you get those things, here's what you can do. Here's one thing, because you're not at rest. You're not at peace. You're not sleeping. You're anxious. You're stressed because of an email you received or a text message you received. You're struggling. But here's what I want to give you from God's word. Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you, right? We're going to remember that, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to see that that person's heart is broken. So what's coming out of their mouth, I'm not going to be concerned with what's coming out of their mouth, because I know it's an internal issue. I know it's an internal issue. So I'm going to go, okay, you're struggling. Something's broken in here. If it was not broken in here, you wouldn't be speaking to me that way. You'd be loving me, because we're brothers. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not talk to each other like this. We're going to love each other. So if we're not loving each other, there's something going on internally. Now, who's fixing the heart? Not me. That's right, Charles. Jesus is. I'm not. So now I'm not going to be worried about the words that are coming. Now I'm resting. I'm sleeping. I'm not worried about the words that are coming out of people's mouth, because I know that it's a heart problem and I can't fix it. And now all of a sudden my shoulders are relaxed. My mind is clear and you're sleeping. Brothers and sisters, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Now, we're meditating, but we're also building a team. You got to build your team around you. If I took you outside right now and I said, all right, let's go. We're running 20 miles. Let's do this thing. You might be like, Matt, you are crazy. I'm not going to run 20 miles right now. Okay? And I would have thought the same thing 6 months ago. And honestly, when G and I first started running, I remember, I feel like I'm using you every sermon. I apologize, bro. I remember 6 months ago, all we would do is we'd leave my house and it was like a full sprint for as long as we could go. Like almost like maxing out our heart rate the whole time, getting back to the house, just like, yeah, we did it, bro. Let's go. It was awesome. Well, guess what? That's not how you train. I didn't know that. He did. I didn't. So I just did it. But that's not how you train running. There's a way to train. If I took you to a gym right now, a workout gym, and I threw you in there and I said, hey, get your legs stronger, get your arms stronger, you might just be like, what? What do I even do? I don't even know what to do. Like, we would want a plan, right? Build you a team that's willing to give you a plan for how to train right. Build a team around you that knows what is right and what is wrong, maybe has the spiritual gift of discernment, who around you can go, hey, man, I want you to know something, man. This is not good for you. Now, I'm not telling you to build you a team that can build up your theology. Here's why I'm not telling you that. Because scripture actually isn't telling you that. We're not trying to make smarter sinners. Not our goal. We're trying to equip you with God's word so it can transform your life. Jesus didn't die on the cross so you could be intellectually, theologically better. He died on the cross so that you could be transformed by his grace to be in his image. And if so, We need people around us who can do some things. This is what they need to do. Encourage you and keep you accountable. Encourage you, keep you accountable. Why? Scripture says it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Two things you do as you gather together. The point of this verse is what? Not to gather together. The point of this is when you gather together, what do? You keep each other accountable, provoke Lord towards love and good deeds, and you encourage each other. So if you have a group of people who are teaching you intellectual things, but aren't keeping you accountable and encouraging you, are we actually doing what Scripture's called us to do? You're going to surround yourself. You're going to build a team. Here's practical training. Build a team of men or women around you who are willing to tell you when you're doing what is evil and tell you when you how to do what is good. Build that group around you that you can trust. If you're going to build that group, what are you going to look for? You're going to look for wise people. You're going to look for discerning people. Discernment is the ability to know what is right and wrong. Wisdom is the ability to do what is right. All right, so we're going to look for wisdom and we're going to look for discernment. And you're going to put those people in your corner. Now, are you going to find the perfect wise and discerning person? No. You're putting people in your life who are humble enough to grow with you as you figure it out. Okay, so you're going to have broken people leading you. You're going to have broken people around you. You have a broken pastor up on stage. We are broken, but we are all in this thing together trying to figure out what is right and wrong and trying to do it by the divine power and presence of God and by Jesus' word as our guide. We're working together here. Okay, so build yourself a team. Build yourself a squad around you that you can trust, that you can walk with, that has the humility to say when, hey, we're struggling, we're not perfect here, but is willing to provoke you and to do what is good. I provoke you and encourage you. I mean, I literally before the 9:30 service, one of my brothers who's in my team, who's provoking me occasionally, honestly, slaps me in the face with some truth and is like really raw with me. He's not afraid to tell me what's up. But right before the 9:30 service, unprovoked, I didn't say anything to him. He just came over and he said one of the most encouraging things anyone has ever said to me in my life. And it was real and raw. It wasn't like, hey, man, you're a great pastor. It wasn't something like that. Or like, man, you're doing good as a dad. Like, it was super personal and really encouraging. We need to put people in our life that will do that. Every now and then needs to say, hey, man, you're not doing this right. And every now and then just needs to say, hey, man, I love you. You got this. Right? Who are you building up for your team? We're going to strategize in the morning. This is your third training session. If I wanted you to get your arms stronger, I might say do 100 or 500 push-ups a day. If I want you to be ready to fight against Satan, I'm going to tell you to strategize against him. Here's why. Because he's strategizing against you. Is Satan scheming against you? Yeah. So are you planning for his attacks? Are you prepping for the war that is in front of you? They say, it's a secular saying, but they say every battle was won before it even began. Many different units use it and different organizations use it. Every battle was won before it even began. And it's because they say that the preparation, the planning before a battle ultimately ends up whether you are victorious or not. Same thing with Satan. We know we have God's divine presence and power in our life to overcome, but he's also training us. So what this looks like is when it's 2 p.m. and one of your coworkers comes up to you and is trying to instigate something that you shouldn't be doing, it shouldn't be the first time that day where you go, oh, I shouldn't be hearing this. I'm going to go listen to some worship music. You should have been listening to worship music or dwelling in God's word all day long. You should have been thinking on good things so that it's not just at that moment you go, now I need to fight. No, I've been preparing all day long for this, man. You ain't got no chance against this. I've been preparing for you. You know what I'm saying? You know that one individual, you know that one thing that always tempts you? It's a one place and you're like, man, you have to drive by it every day. And so you say, well, it's going to add 5 minutes extra to my work, to my drive. I'm going to go drive a different route. I'm going to engage this person in a different way. I'm not going to let them tempt me. I'm prepping for this. I'm preparing for the battle that I'm going to face. I'm strategizing in the morning. Ephesians 6 tells us to get battle ready by putting on the armor of God, but it also tells us to pray. So it's twofold. I'm going to prepare by putting on the armor, but I'm also going to prepare by praying to the God who can do something about this. And here's a specific thing you can do. You can say this to God in the morning. God, I'm going to be tempted to, whatever your temptation is. So God help me in whatever you need help with. 1 Corinthians 10:9. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And it's not going to overcome you because he's going to provide a way out. Right? So we're recognizing the temptation. We're giving it over to God. And we're asking him, can you specifically help me out of this? Can you give me a specific way out of this, Father? You're putting battle-ready things in, like preparing for a specific situation, going, God, I know I'm going to be tempted to lust. God, will you prepare me for that moment by helping me to avoid this situation, by helping me to prioritize good things in my mind, to dwell on good things, not dwell on those things. God, I know I'm going to be tempted to be angry. Man, dads, moms, are your kids going to frustrate you at some point today? In this hour? You know what I'm saying? We know we're going to be frustrated. We know they're going to do something wild. But you can react or you can prepare. I know there's going to be something that happens, so I'm going to prepare. I'm going to prepare all day long for that moment when my child does something that it seems absolutely insane to me that they would do. But I've been prepping for this. I've been prepping for grace. I've been prepping for mercy. I've also been preparing for maybe discipline or justice. You've been preparing all day long for that moment. Moms and dads, have you been preparing all day long for that moment that your kid does something, or do you react in the moment like, I didn't know this was coming? Yes, you do. And you know Satan is going to battle you. What you think about this. What's your biggest sin struggle? Don't tell me. Don't shout out loud. Right now. Tell your group. Tell your team. Whatever your biggest sin struggle is, that temptation that leads to sin, whatever that is, you think you're going to face that today? Probably. The devil's not dumb. He's probably going to tempt you. And if he's going to tempt you, why don't we prepare for it? So here's how you're going to prepare. You're going to strategize in the morning. You're going to think through things you can do to be prepared for the temptation you face. Now, you may say, Matt, well, I need some like logistics here, bro. Like, tell me what that specifically do. Okay, I can't go through every single sin right now and temptation right now. But here's what I would tell you. If you're doing this thing solo, you might not have the right tools in place. If you've been failing with this temptation for a long time, you definitely don't have the right tools in place. But if you've built a team around you who's got your back and will provoke you to love and good works and encourage you, maybe they can put some tools in place to help you overcome. So if you build your team, I believe you can strategize in the morning. Shoot a quick text out. Call them. Talk to them at some point throughout the day. Hey, man, I've been dealing with this temptation. What tools do you know that can help? What are some things you can put in place so you don't fall into this temptation? All right, so we're training for holiness. We're training for holiness by meditating on what is good, what is holy. We're strategizing in the morning because we built a team up that can help us to discern what is good and what is evil. But we're also training for rest, biblical rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10 through 11 says, "For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us," check this out. It says, "Let us then make every effort to enter rest." Make every effort to enter rest. Think about that. This doesn't make sense to us, right? We're working for rest. But that is so biblical. That's the exact model for rest in the Bible, is that when you work, you rest. After 6 days, Jesus didn't sleep. Father didn't sleep. Spirit wasn't sleeping on the creation, were they? They were enjoying what they created. The Trinity was enjoying the creation. Looked out. Did anybody see the sunrise last night? It was stunning. Whatever. Yeah. I was talking about in China and Japan. Thank you. Sunset. Did anybody see that sunset last night? It was beautiful. We were driving over the ridge by local homestead, and the Catoctin Mountains were lit up with the beautiful sunset and by my bride. And it was just a wonderful picture. And you know, when God looked out at his creation after 6 days, he saw his beautiful creation. He said, man, that's good. And then he saw you and he said, man, that's very good. And the next day, he didn't sleep. He enjoyed his creation. We work in a way that we can enjoy the creation that God has given us, the blessings that God has given us. Some quick tips for this is to care about things God cares about, not things that God doesn't care about. Because when we care about the things God cares about, then he's with us in that caring. If we care about things that God doesn't care about or things that we were never intended to care on, we're holding things on our shoulders that we were never meant to hold. So, of course, we're anxious. Of course, we're stressed. Of course, it leads us into fear. With fear, I mean, think about it. We've talked about this so many times before, but, you know, if there's a bear in front of you, you should be afraid, right? Come on. You with me? Okay, because if you were a person and there is a bear in front of you and you are not afraid, that is the individual that we need to help because you have the lack of fear. There needs to be a healthy amount of fear in you that says, this is not a situation that I need to be in currently. Okay? What we don't need to do is put fears in our life that aren't real things and fear them even though they're not realities. And all of a sudden, we're getting afraid of everything. And Satan's just throwing us fears after fear. He's like, man, I'm afraid of this. But that's not part of your life. Don't be afraid of that. Don't let that creep in your life. Well, I'm anxious for this. Well, you're not supposed to carry that anxiety. I'm stressed about this, but you weren't supposed to be stressed about that. That's not something you put that into your life. Remember, you're going to work hard, and work is hard. Work is toilsome, but don't overwork. Because now I'm putting more work on me. Now I'm putting more fears on me. Now I'm putting more stresses on me. Now I'm putting more anxiety on me that I was never intended to do. So I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work hard enough to earn sleep that when I put my head on my pillow at night, as Proverbs would say, I'm going to put my head on my pillow at night and I'm going to sleep easy because I'm content with what God gave me. I'm not fearing things that God didn't put in front of me. I'm not anxious about things God didn't call me to be caring about. And I'm not stressed about overworking because I'm working for what God has called me to work for. I'm going to work to live. I'm not going to live to work. I'm going to work to rest, and I'm going to rest to work. Now, this comes deeply in, like, this is a deep-seated, real, raw process for me in my life. I'm not just telling you things you should do. I'm telling you things that I had to do if I was going to find sleep and rest, biblical rest. If I was going to find life that God wanted for me, enjoy the blessings that God had given me, like my family, the good things that God had blessed me with, if I was going to enjoy them, I couldn't be continually living in a lack of rest, in a lack of contentment, in full of stress, full of fear, full of anxiety. If I did, I would not enjoy what God had given me, which is ultimately me saying, God, I don't care that you've blessed me. I don't care that you've given me so much in life. I'm going to reject that and not be thankful for it. Contentment says I don't need more and I don't need less. I'm thankful for what I have currently right now. So let me give you some trainings for rest. I'm going to give you 8 trainings for your training regimen to rest well. My ask of you is to understand that this is coming from the gospel, coming from Jesus Christ has saved you. You're not working for salvation. You're working from salvation. Because Jesus has worked in your life, his power and presence is in you. We are seeking out rest that found in him, not just unbiblical rest, not secular rest. We're seeking biblical rest. So I'm going to give you habits that come from Scripture. Scripture would challenge us to work hard. Not, as we've said, not to overwork, not to be lazy, but to work hard. Because remember, the difference between resting and laziness is the penalty versus reward. Laziness penalizes us from enjoying the blessings of God. Resting rewards us by enjoying the blessings of God. The difference between work and overwork is benefit and detriment. When we work, we are benefited by what comes from work. When we overwork, there's a detriment because we lose what we worked for. Be content with what your work gives you. Whatever you receive from that, be content with that, not more, not less. If it's what God wants for you to do, do that. Don't do more. Because we're going to be a people that are different in this world. We're going to work hard. We're not going to overwork or be lazy. We're going to be different than the world. The world's going to tell you to work harder, especially America, or the world's going to tell you to work less and be lazy. We're not going to do either. we're going to do what God wants for us to do, and we're going to be happy with that. Amen? So we're going to work hard, but we're also going to enjoy blessings. So your first two, work hard, enjoy blessings. Now, here's the thing. Here's where that's different. Work hard and enjoy blessings. If you're going to enjoy blessings, it might actually mean you got to cut out some good things. Because we live in America where a lot of times what we want to do is just get more, more, and more, and more. So what we sometimes will do is we have so many more things, so many good things, that we're not able to enjoy anything. I know some people who spend their like whole week cleaning things that they bought, working on things that they have, so to the point where it's so much overwork that they actually don't get to enjoy their family or bless their family or enjoy blessings with their family because they're working on something. And look, you got to work on it. You got to take care of it. But if all you're doing is ever taking care of stuff you've gained, then you're never enjoying what God gave you. Be content with what you have. Don't need more. Just enjoy what you have. So we're going to enjoy the blessings. We're going to fight tech. Third thing of your 8 daily habits, fight tech. Here's where you can fight tech. You may not think you need to fight tech, but there may be somebody around you that needs to fight tech. Technology oftentimes in our life is trying to rob us of the blessings that God has given us in rest. Look, you know what's crazy about this? The world is constantly behind Scripture. It's constantly behind Scripture. Hey, listen to this. We should take care of our planet. Who said that? The Lord. That's straight from the Old Testament. You cannot tell me, you cannot read the Old Testament and say that we should just bash our planet. The world's just trying to figure it out and oftentimes doesn't do a good job. Who should be leading out in not being addicted to technology? Us. Why? Because we're supposed to rest. And you know what the world found out? If you look at your phone after like 7 p.m., your eyes can't fall asleep. It just doesn't go, it doesn't fall asleep. It doesn't do well. Your brain, the blue light and all that stuff, they're just figuring out what God already told us. What we've already seen in Scripture. We should rest. We should sleep. We don't need to be addicted to these things. It's wild to see how Scripture has these beautiful, you know, why should you eat healthy? Why shouldn't we be gluttons? Why should we take care of our bodies? Why shouldn't we be lazy with our bodies? Because did you know that if you eat after a certain point of time at night, then you're less likely to sleep that night? And you may say, well, Matt, that sounds really secular. Why are you talking about all these things? Like, sounds like self-help and everything. Well, actually, Scripture tells you not to be a glutton. Why? Because God wants good rest for you, good life for you. Like, Jesus didn't die so you could be miserable. He gives you particular things to do in your life so that you can enjoy the goodness and the blessings that he's given you in your life. We're going to fight technology because we're going to show the world how to enjoy the goodness of God. We're going to show the world how to enjoy human interaction. We're going to show the world how not to be addicted to social media, but how to have real, raw friendships. That crazy thing that we had before Facebook and TikTok. We're going to show the world that even though we have access to those things, we're not going to use them. So we're going to fight tech. Now, look, I don't know what that looks like for you. I've essentially got a dumb phone. Maybe you don't need a dumb phone. I don't really watch TV very, very extremely rare. And if it is, it's extremely late, like late at night with my bride. It's very rare. But that's me. I'm giving you training tips. Well, here's what you do. You build a team, right? Let them speak into your life. Hey, man, this is how much I'm on my phone. This is how much I'm on my computer. This is how much I'm on TV. This is when I'm on it. So I'm not with my kids or with my bride or with somebody that I disciple. This is what my life looks like. What do you think would be a healthy view of this? Okay, let some people into that to do what? Provoke and encourage. So you're going to let them into that sphere of tech and say, do you think this is healthy for me? Because look, you might have a different job than me. You may have to check your emails at a certain time, your text message at a certain time. You may have to have some sort of app that other people don't have to have. Well, I can't tell all of you guys to have less than an hour on your phone every day. But I can say I think that's probably a good healthy start. but put a group of people around you who can help you with that and figure out what you can do to honor God, enjoy his goodness. Okay, fight tag. Fourth, give thanks for what you have. If you want to rest well, give thanks for what you have throughout the day, because when you end your day, you'll be thankful for what you have, not desiring what you don't have. And I mean particularly give thanks. In particular, what are you thankful for today? List them out. These are the good things that I'm, and that's what you meditate on, right? All through the day, I'm going, okay, I'm thankful that I have this. Okay, I don't have that hot rod car they have, but I'm thankful for what I have. I don't have that house, but I'm thankful for what I have. I don't have a pool in my backyard, but I'm thankful for what I have. Okay, what are you thankful that you have? I don't have to move to be thankful. I don't have to go to another state to be warmer. Sometimes I want to. I don't have, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to have all these things to be content. What we have to do instead is go, I'm content with what I have. Okay? So I'm giving thanks for what we have, not what I don't have. I'm getting in bed. I'm not talking about me in particular. I'm just saying us. We're getting in bed 7 hours before we need to wake up. Look, I'm training, but I don't know what your specifics are. Maybe you need 8. Maybe you need 6. I don't know. I'm just telling you, mark out a time before you got to wake up. If you got to wake up at 4:30, then 7 hours before is going to be 9:30, right? I'm in bed at 9:30 pretty much every single night. It's a commitment I make. People used to think I don't sleep. I didn't. Now I do. Why? Because I'm committed to do what God has for me in my life. So when people come up to me and say, Matt, you don't ever sleep. You're probably tired. I say, oh, actually, I do now. Because I don't want to be the imitation of what is unhealthy. I don't want to be a pastor that leads you to do what is wicked. I want to lead out in showing you how we should live. Okay, so I am sleeping. I do sleep. And I'm not even ashamed of it. Have you ever been ashamed of doing something that is good? You're like, I'm going on vacation. Sorry. I take a Sabbath. I don't work a whole day of the week. What, you lazy fool? No, I'm doing what Christ called me to do. Amen? All right, we're going to give thanks for what we have. We're going to get in bed 7 hours or whatever before you need to wake up. We're going to pray about Sabbath all week long, but because 6 days, I'm going to be looking for that seventh. God, I'm working hard today because I can't wait for the Sabbath. God, I'm excited to do what I have to do today so that I can rest on that day. God, I'm going to do this hard work so that I can enjoy my family on my Shabbat. Like, you're prepping your whole week, your mind, you're prepping for Shabbat. We're going to journal to God about our physical, emotional, sexual, relational struggles. Why? Because we're going to put, it's going to be a process, it's going to be a rhythm in our life to give God that stuff. It's going to be a process daily to go, God, here's my struggle. God, here's my struggle. Here's my relational struggles. Here's my emotional struggles. This is my sexual struggles. Here they are, God. I'm not going to hold them anymore. All right, so we're going to journal right now. As the band comes forward, I've given you 7 out of 8. Y'all with me? Anybody writing down? Are y'all struggling that I only given you 7? You need that 8th one, don't you? It's not good. Man, all my type A's are like, dude, chill. I'm not giving you an 8. It's going to be frustrating. But here's what I want. Here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to really mess with you. I wanted to really mess with you because I wanted to sink in deep. That your whole life, you're going to want more. You're going to want more and more and more. And here's what I want you to remember. As much as you can work and do all the training and fight Satan all day long, Jesus did the work for you. He fought for you. He worked for you. He lived for you because we couldn't do the life that we were supposed to. He died for you because we could not die in the way that we were supposed to. And he raised from the dead so that you can too. So that 8th one is a reminder, a constant reminder that, man, I can't do this alone. I need him. You can train all day long, but you ain't going to beat Satan without Jesus. So church, train, don't try. Strategize because Satan is. He's scheming against you. You're going to fight. You're going to win because of Christ, not because of you. And we as a church are going to be victorious to show the world that we rest and we are holy, not because of us, but because of his divine power and presence in us. And hopefully the world will see that and want it because they all desire what we have. Joy, peace, hope, rest, goodness. So for all that, let's give God the glory. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We trust that you have a plan for us. I pray that this training would be equipping our people to do what you have for them, that we could fight against sin, Satan, and death and be victorious in your power and presence. We are your people. Come be with us. We worship you because we love you. Pray this in your son's name. Amen.
You have any questions about the sermon or would like to know more about following after Jesus, please contact us and we would love to talk more about your relationship with Christ and how you can grow in your spiritual journey.